You're listening to a resource from the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, where we seek to promote excellence in biblical counseling. For more resources or to find out more information about ACBC, please visit us at biblicalcounseling.com.
All right, so it's 9 o'clock, so we probably ought to go ahead and get rolling. Get yourself comfortable. I'm Lisa Anderson. I am one of the presenters. Our church in Jacksonville has an ACBC certified training center by God's grace. And so I have the privilege and can serve Christ as a presenter there. And so I was just so blessed to be able to come here and share one of the pretty close to the presentation that we do to give training in fundamentals. That's what you would take your phase one. That's what we offer at Christian Family Chapel. So homework is very near and dear to my heart, because that's one of the subjects that I teach on in there, and it's near and dear to my heart because I know it's where real change occurs, is after they leave your session. So I'm really excited about doing that here today. You might notice this up here. My husband and I back there had the privilege of raising a teenage boy, and so Zitz is very near and dear to my heart. I was telling someone, they're all over our refrigerator. He's 31 now, but they're all over our refrigerator, faded out. But, you know, you open the cabinets, there's some going down there. So this one for homework seemed just right. I don't know if you can read it. He's at his laptop, and he says, groan. And then he's, oh, no, whining, whimpering, fretting. And he says to his dad, who knew that a 12-page research paper would take more than an afternoon to write? I think I've heard something pretty close to that before. And the dad says, is that rhetorical, or should I start naming every other person on the planet? It's a good one on homework. I'll start us with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you gave us your word to study, Father, and we are so thankful that you gave us your son to show us your great love, Father, that he would come and suffer, be tortured and suffer and die to take our own death penalty that we know we so justly deserve for ourselves. What an amazing love you have for us, Father, and we thank you for that and praise you for that. Lord, we ask that you would give us clarity of thought during this time. Father, we want to understand you at a greater depth. Father, we want to live for you. We want to live for you in a way that we can counsel others about you. We want to give homework, Lord, that would help people when they leave our coffee time together or our counseling session, whatever it is, Lord, that we would be able to give them what would be most helpful for them during the week, Lord, as they change and grow for your glory and the particular challenges in which they find themselves. So, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity, the great privilege of being used of you to help other people, not just in the hour we sit with them, but that we can even be a help by your grace to them for the 6 days following until we see them again. So we ask for your help for that. We bow our hearts to you, asking for your teaching, and we want to learn. So we come to you asking for those things. We ask these in the name of your precious Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, so you have taught them. Lord, you just saw the Lord working. I mean, the Holy Spirit, oh, it was just so exciting. You could see lights going off in their mind. It's like, oh, yes, it's so great. The Holy Spirit is really changing them, man. And then it's like, whew, the ball has been knocked out of the park. I mean, that was a great counseling session. You're praising God for what he's done. And then they're walking out of your session. And the question becomes really, what do you want their week to look like? Do you want it to look like this over the next 6 days after the Holy Spirit has knocked it out of the park in your session? Or your other option is that it could look like that. And a lot of it can depend upon you and what you're going to give them as they leave the session. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today, is homework. We're first going to talk about your goals in having homework and assigning homework, and then we're going to talk about how to achieve those goals as a counselor or as a friend. I know we, as I said, we have a training center. We've had, I don't know, maybe 500 people that we've had the privilege of teaching over the last 5 or 6 years in Jacksonville. We take it on the road and have been able to do it at other places. What we recognize is the vast majority of the people that take the fundamentals training don't go on to become certified counselors, although we think that's great. That's a goal of ours. But the vast majority of them are taking it to become better Sunday school teachers or better friends, or to be able to help the person at the water fountain at work who comes and starts talking about their husband leaving them and so forth. And so that's probably the case with the folks in here. And so I just encourage you in those settings that you would also think about, what kind of homework can I give this friend at the Starbucks or whatever? What can I give them after we talk that they would be helped by? And so maybe in Sunday school, one of them shares something about it, and you can say, hey, you know what? I think I've got something that might be a real help. Let's get together at XYZ time, and let's talk about it. And when you go and talk about it, take some homework with you so that they can continue to change and grow. So this isn't just for those who have set themselves up as counselors, but for everyone to be able to help someone else's week to grow. So what are the goals in giving homework as a counselor or as just a friend? Goals in giving homework is continued progressive sanctification between the sessions. If that ball's gone out of the park, you want it to keep sailing out there. You want them to continue to grow. Also, to help your counselee know God such that he will fall in love, or she will fall in love more and more after she has left that session, to know God so that she will fall in love with God. The more you know about God, the more you love God. So to help them to know more about God. And it's also to give quick hope of quick change. Quick hope of quick change right from the very beginning, that this is not like talk therapy where you come in and you pretty much signed up for the next 3 years of your life to come and talk about your problem. No, you want them to understand that they can change. Things can change about themselves. They can find peace, hope, and joy in growing levels starting this afternoon and going forward. So you want to give them quick hope of change, understanding the promises of God and the practical implementation. They can change beginning this afternoon and each day. So a quick hope of quick change is a goal for your homework. Also, to help your counselee understand that responsibility for change is his own. So that homework helps them to recognize this isn't going to be about blame shifting and helping other people, but to help you, that this counseling is not the magic hour. They don't come to you and you're the answer to all of their problems. You want them to recognize, no, this is a place where I have the privilege of pointing them. I want to help them understand the why, which is the gospel, the what, which is the word of God, what he says, and then the how, the practical implementation of how to live that out in their particular challenges. This isn't the magic hour. I get the privilege to point them to Christ, point them to the scriptures, the passages, the narratives, but what's going to actually be changing for them is what they do with it during the week, the how. It's also to determine if your counselee understood what was taught in the session, the why, the what, and the how to change. Because you may realize from their homework when they come back that, oh my word, I either said something totally backwards or they heard something totally backwards. So it can help you. You want to set up your homework such that it helps your counselee understand what was taught and helps you realize and understand, did they really understand it? So that's a goal of your homework as well. We'll talk about how to do that in a moment. And then it sets up the next counseling session's discussion with an intentional focus. With an intentional focus. It's what I use to structure my next counseling session. And I could, because we'll talk about what I use, and there's no one right way or wrong way about homework, but I'm going to tell you my way so that it can help you have some frame of reference if you're new to it or to tweak. But it gives a structure. It helps me think through and helps them to know what we're going to be working on in the next session, and that's what I use, and we'll talk about that a little bit more in a moment as well. It's also to get more information, to get more data about your counselee's problems. Data gathering is not something we only do in session one. It's something we're going to be doing all the way through our time together. And so homework can help you continue to get information that you were not able to get in that first session, data that has to do with implementation and so forth. Oops, I think I went past one. To determine if your counselee's faith is theoretical or practical. I've had lots of counselees who I've had just a wonderful joy of working with, and they can come in and talk a really good game about the Bible that seems like they know a lot about Jesus Christ, and so I'm getting all excited, you know, about this growing believer. But because of the answers and so forth from their homework, I begin thinking, you know, it seems like there's something missing here. She was able to talk about the gospel and about change and so forth, but there just seems to be, over the weeks, something's missing here, and it's hard to get my finger on. And a way that I like to explain this is just determining, you know what, this person may not be saved. She may have said that she was, but it just seems like there's something missing 6, 7, and 8 sessions in, maybe 4 or 5. It's like, there's just something wrong here. And a way that's helped me to understand that about thinking through saved or not saved as they're coming back with their homework and answers to their homework is like a piano. That a person who is saved, it's as if a person's hitting the keys, and those keys and little hammers are hitting the strings, and there's just beautiful music coming out. I mean, the actual hitting of the keys makes beautiful music, and that's what I recognize in a believer. But when I've got somebody that's coming back, it's like, gosh, this homework and the way they're responding to the homework and the Word of God, and so it's just, it's like they're hitting the keys, maybe they're doing the homework, but there's no beautiful music coming out of the piano. So the homework can help me determine that kind of thing. The James 2:26 says that as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. So you're going to give homework that will help you, and then of course you will be helping them to understand things of the faith and the gospel and salvation as well. So you want to be building godly habits, another goal that you have in your counselee that can sustain his growth after he graduates. So what are some of the godly habits that you would like a counselee to have when they finish from counseling, when they graduate from counseling? Like what? Bible reading. There's an idea. Yeah. Good first one. Prayer. Yep. Exactly. Bible reading, prayer. What else? Yes. Running to the cross. Exactly. Amen. Huh? Daily, yes, having good habits, daily devotionals, yep. So those are the kind of things you're going to be thinking about, goals. You want your homework to be working towards their having daily habits that are going to be helpful to them as they finish their graduate off. Have the end goal for your counselee in mind when you think homework. All right, so we've talked about some great goals. It's just exciting to think about that you get to be a part of getting a person to these places. Those are your goals. And it's so just thrilling to think about how the Holy Spirit will be using his word. Let's think about how, as a counselor, or as a good friend, Sunday school teacher, small group leader, whatever your situation is, accomplishing your goals. What are some ways that you can do that? And again, this is my way. It may not be the best way. And you may determine you want to do it totally differently, but this is how I do it. I wanted to be really practical in this presentation. Help them to be organized. I have found that is so helpful for counselees. Sometimes you recognize the reason, at least part of the reason they are in there, is that their life is very unorganized. And so they're experiencing a level of depression or discouragement. So in homework, you want to help them be organized with the homework. On page 13 of your notes there, you'll see what we have there is a sample homework, and you can reference it later, but what we do is we give them a homework sheet, and they're going to keep it in a notebook. I give them a notebook, and it's got tabs on there, and there's a tab for each part of the homework sheet that I give them, and so when they come back, they're going to have their notebook. They will have opened one tab and written down their summary, another tab, written down their prayer journal, another tab, written down the answers to the Bible study and so forth. So they have it all with them. This will be so helpful to you because what I found early on in my, I've been counseling, I guess, 12 years. What I found early on is that a lot of times they will come back and they will be so disorganized that they don't have their homework with them. They've left it somewhere. Their child threw up on the way to taking them to, you know, childcare, and it, I mean, you know, they, it's just, There are a lot of reasons that they have it that are maybe valid reasons, but if you can help them, love them well by helping them that all their homework arrives at the counseling session, it really loves them well. And I even encourage them to keep everything because I try to give pamphlets. We'll talk about those in a moment. But I encourage them, just get yourself a bag and just keep it all in the bag. Whenever you're going to be working on your homework, just pull it out of the bag. And then when you finish it or partway finish, put it back in the bag before you go. And that way, when they're in the hurry, you know, the kids are going everywhere, the dog just got lost, whatever it is, all I have to do is grab the bag and walk out. So it really loves them well to help them to get organized. And of course, if they come back with even that disorganized, it gives you some data on how you can help them. We also want to begin giving homework in the very first session. Remember we talked about that quick hope of quick change, so giving them good specific homework starting in session one helps them to begin changing very quickly. So I give them the same type homework on session one that I'm going to be giving them all the way through it. Now, in my first session with them, I talk to them about three commitments that I want them to make. I believe that's in your student notes, the three commitments that I ask in the session one. One of them is that they would have a learner spirit. The second one, though, is that you'd be faithful in completing your homework each week. So that's a commitment I want from them that I ask for in the very first session. And I let them know it's probably going to take 20 to 30 minutes to get this homework done. Are you willing to put in 20 to 30 minutes to seek to find the peace, hope, and joy that you recognize that you are not experiencing? Are you willing to do that, 20 to 30 minutes? And I do mostly women, so lots of moms. And so I'll frequently say, it's a lot like having a baby. You know, you lose a lot of sleep at the beginning, don't you, moms? You lose a lot of sleep. And doing your homework, getting into this, learning these principles may require losing sleep, but it will be worth it to you. And so you want to help them to be willing to put in the time to get the homework done and getting it done starting in the very first session. All right, I want to give a homework assignment that is written out clearly by me, the counselor, or you, and discussing how they're going to do the homework before they leave the session. Written out clearly by you and discussed during the session. You know, if they've come to you, they're probably hurting already. They're probably got things that have, they're experiencing anxiety concerning. They may be feeling overwhelmed. And so however you can love them to help them during that time is just a sweet gift that you can give them. And you writing it down for them is a gift, because that way they are on the same page, you are on the same page. They're not going to come back next week and say, oh, I thought you said so-and-so, or then you have to wonder, did I forget to say something? And then some of the homework didn't go, some of that progressive sanctification didn't occur because there was confusion. They were intimidated or whatever it was, and they just really weren't paying as much attention. And so they didn't get the homework. So if you will write it down for them, what we do is we have a two-page or three-page for marriage counseling, carbonless copies. Ours are pre-printed with categories so that we just need to check or write in a few details and so forth. I have a copy of it. They have a copy of it. And just remember to give plenty of time in that first session. I try to give 10 minutes at the end of my last session, save enough time for about 10 minutes. Just this only happens in the first session that I give this much time to it usually. But to walk through the homework with real clarity, ask them if they have a question about each part of it as we walk through it, so that they have a good understanding of what I am asking for in assigning that homework. I also like to put my phone number and email and so forth under there, and I learned that the hard way because so many times they would come back and say, oh, you know, I just wasn't sure if I was supposed to XYZ, so they just didn't. It's like, so I let them know my phone number and my email's on here. If you have any questions ahead of time, please just let me know, because I don't want you to come back next time and say, oh, I just wasn't sure about so-and-so and therefore I didn't do it. So I want them to understand it is so important to get your homework. I would rather you call me than just not do it. Let me walk you through it again by phone. And I do this because I know this is where change actually happens. And so again, reminding them of the commitment that they have made. It's very different kind of counseling than they probably ever had before or heard their friends have had before. So the issue of homework is probably going to be really new to them. So continuing to emphasize to them how important it is going to be a real blessing to you and a real blessing to them. Okay, so we want to assign homework to be worked on within the first 24 hours and for a number of days during the week. And that's actually written on our homework sheet. You can say that, you know, within 1 or 2 days, please write a summary is my first homework assignment on that sheet. Because they're least likely to forget it, right, in the first 24 hours. And so I want them to do that. Remember, I'm trying to get information into them. And so whatever I can do to help them grasp that information better is me being a better counselor to them. And so I'm going to ask them to do it within the first 24 hours. And that my homework assignments are going to require a number of days to do it. We'll talk about some specific ways of doing that in a moment, but it's going to require things so there's consecutive days of growth for them by the way that I have assigned it, but getting started right away. And so I usually let them know when I'm assigning homework, I want you to do it over a number of days. So there's hearing and doing, hearing and doing, hearing and doing, hearing and doing. So when you come back next week, you're here this week, but because of the power of the Holy Spirit and what he promises to do with his word, you're going to be up here when you come back. Now, if you wait until the night before you come in to do your homework, where are you going to be on this stair step? It's going to make a big difference whether you do it over a number of days and if you do it the day before. So I'm asking that you would do it over a number of days. Because what we know is the Christian walk is not a one and done. It is progressive and requires self-discipline and usually repetition. It usually requires repetition. You know, the word remember is used in the Bible over 165 times. Gee, wonder why you would have to use that word. And that doesn't even count forget or don't forget or variants thereof. 165 times. So, and we know our hearts are prone to wander, that we have deceitful desires inside of us. So we want to have repetition and homework that's going to help them to bring self-discipline into their lives. One of the ways that we do that is 3x5 cards. Part of the assignments that I give, I usually have one, and you'll see it on the sheet at the end there. There's one verse they're going to work on memorizing during the week and come back and repeat it to me when they come in. But then other verses that will be put on 3x5 cards that are just for review. And so I tell them for 2 or 3 minutes a day, I want you to be building this stack of 3x5 cards, and I want you to review them 2 or 3 minutes a day. Wherever you get, just stop, pick it up the next day, and start reviewing them again. I had a lady that recently contacted me. I graduated her a while back, and she sent me an email, so sweet. And she said, I'm still pulling out those 3x5 cards. They are still giving me hope and help on my hard days. I have a stack of 3x5 cards that I started 20 years ago, maybe, and I still pull them back out on the hard days, and they still give me hope and help. So it's a great gift that you give them to review, to be reminded of the things, because the 3x5s you're going to be giving her intentional, or him, are going to be intentional towards the struggles you recognize she's having about God and about her circumstances. So repetition. Another way of doing that, working on an assignment over days, is one that I give, and it's in your resources as well, as reading Ephesians 1-3, but I want you to do it 10 minutes a day for X number of days. So that's another way that you have them in there, building that self-discipline, building the good godly habits, because it's not a one and done. And pamphlets, we'll talk about specific ones in a moment. But if I'm giving a pamphlet assignment, I want that pamphlet not to be something they pick up and read on just one day and set it aside, but I want them to maybe read it and highlight it the first day that they go into it. Then the next day, I want them to go back and review their highlights, and then I want them to pick 7 that they really like about it. So they've kind of looked over that pamphlet a few times before they come back. So something that they can do on more than one day. Okay, so we've talked about some principles and how to achieve those goals. Let's go to categories of the type assignments that we will give. And you'll notice these are tabs in our homework assignment example that you have there. Prayer. personal worship of God. We want to help them learn how to pray. Now, there's not only one right way to pray. We know that. But they may not be praying at all, or they may be praying in such a way that is not a biblical prayer. And so we want to help them learn how to pray because it's a blessing to God and it's going to be a blessing to them. So I give assignments that have to do with how to pray. I want them to maybe model a prayer, write out their prayers, come back and tell me about their prayers. And it helps me to understand also what are their hindrances to prayer when I give an assignment. They may come back and tell me things that, about why they're not praying, that they don't think God will answer this prayer, so I didn't write it down. Or when they're reading me their prayers, I recognize, oh my goodness, there's something about God they've either never learned or they've totally forgotten. So it gives me information as well. So part of our assignment on our example one there, there's five ways to pray. Praising God, five parts of prayer. The first one is praising God. I ask them to list one characteristic about God from their homework they're going to praise God about during the week. A thank God, that I'm going to ask them to list X number of things they can thank God for. And if they're there for a conflict that they're having or dissatisfaction they have with their husband or in-laws, whatever it is, when it says thank God, I'm usually going to have them to thank God for that person and to tell, and you'll notice there it says next to it, thank God, and then about so-and-so and tell him or her what you're thanking God for, thanking them, thanking God for about them. Confession is the next section. Ask God to show you weaknesses or sins where you need to repent, change, or grow in order to become more like Christ. List, and I usually put just one, and ask God to help you in these areas. And then the last one is intercession, teaching them to pray for others. I ask them to pray for me, helps them to understand, I know I need help from the Holy Spirit, so please pray for me to have wisdom, that the Holy Spirit would help me counsel, and then to pray for whomever, XYZ, to be encouraged to see the changes made in your life. So I'm going to put their family there, most likely, that their family, because of the homework you're going to be doing, your family would be encouraged to see you change and grow, that you would be an encouragement in their life, asking God to affect that in their lives. So prayer. All right, review assignments. We've talked about that. We want these assignments to assure the clarity of his own and for his own future access. So my first tab is summary. And so what they will do is they'll leave the counseling session. Within 24 hours, they'll write a summary of what was taught. And so I will, because I know that's going to be their first assignment, and because my heart is that they would understand and remember the instruction from the word that I have given, during the session, I'm going to say, you know what, let's stop right there. Why don't you just take a moment and write that down? That's a good thing to write down. And so sometimes even after they've written it down, I'll say, will you just tell me what it was you wrote down there? Because sometimes they write it down backwards or whatever. And so sometimes I'll even ask them, you know, just tell me what you wrote down right there. Or I'll say it slowly again so they can write it down. And it's just, you just remind yourself, I'm here so that they can learn about God. And so whatever they can write down and take with them and write down again in the summary in their own words, you're helping them to understand the word of God. So during a session, saying, let's just stop and write that down is huge. So review assignments, writing a summary in your own words. And then at the end of that one, on our number one, is write down three ways you have applied what you learned this week. So it's not just the getting it in your head. It's with the true intention of changing and then putting it into practice. So I'm asking them to write down, before they come back, they will have written down three ways they have applied what they have learned during the week. Another review type assignment would be maybe you've taught the why chart to them. I don't know if you're familiar with that. It's a great tool. Maybe you've taught them that, and your review type assignment for them will be, I want you to go home and do the why chart for at least one other person. And then I want you to come back, be prepared to come back and do the why chart for me. Because again, you're trying to get it into their mind that they would be able to remember it and apply it very practically. So that would be a review type assignment. Okay, the next one is Bible studies. Oops, I forgot to say this. Sorry, have them take notes. Yeah, speaking of notes. Have them take notes in session one, and every session is another way for him to grasp that truth, or her, another way to grasp the truths. So you bless them with that. And it tells you, we talked about this a moment ago, how well did you teach it? Like, come back with that summary and maybe backwards from what you said, or left out a huge concept, or you can tell really what they have is just a legalistic view of what you were trying to teach. It isn't about Jesus Christ. That was Jesus, or anything about God and Christ is not even in their summary anywhere. You recognize, ooh, either I didn't talk about it enough, or they are not grasping the gospel-centeredness of what we're trying to do here. So it can tell you how well did you teach it, and how well did he understand it by that summary or review type assignment. Because I've had folks, I like to do that, where they come back and do the Y chart for me, for somebody else, and then for me. Isn't that great? And and I realize when they come back and do it for me, it's like, oh my word, you know, we need to do some work on this one. Which is great for me to know, right? I mean, that's the whole purpose I'm in there, so they would know it. So it's great for me to recognize, oh, wow, we need to do some more work on that. How well did he understand it, and does he know how to apply what was learned, how to live it out at home or in the difficult challenges they find themselves in, how to apply what was learned. All right, Bible studies is the next one, category of homework. As you pointed out, that should be a big part of what we're trying to get them going on, is studying the Bible. So, you know, it's a great thing to just start at Genesis 1 and read through, right? You can't go wrong with that, but it's not very laser pointed to the particular challenge that they're in. So you want to seek in the homework Bible studies that you give them that they are passages, narratives, different sections, whatever it is, that are helpful concerning what you taught in that session or taught on in that session, or what you plan on teaching in the next session. Let it be helpful towards the direction that you're trying to go for them. So let's say perhaps you have someone who is struggling with the knowledge of God. You recognize from what they've said that, wow, there's some significant attributes of God this person is not remembering or has never understood about God. And so I want this person, the Bible study part of my homework is going to be for her learning some of the attributes of God. That's something that is one of your resources at the end of your student notes, is the attributes of God Bible study. And I believe I have it written in here what the assignment might look like. It's just a list of attributes, and then verses for each one of those is what that assignment is attached there to your notes. So my homework assignment to them might be to choose an attribute that is most helpful to you in your challenge. So I'm going to let them choose it. They can look down and see which one, yeah, I'm really doubting that, or really that's true about God, or I want to do a little homework, I want to find out about that. So I let them choose the attribute, look those up, the verses up, for 10 minutes per day, taking notes of how these verses reveal that attribute. And then each day I want you to choose one verse and put it on a 3x5 card. And on the back of that 3x5 card, tell why it is helpful to know this about God in your particular challenge. How does that help you to know that? And I want you to let me know. Take notes of anything, questions, doubts, what ifs, yeah buts about God and his attributes that you've studied. And when they come back, we can talk about that. So that's a really helpful one. I probably use that with every counselee at some point in there, because as we talked about earlier, the more they know God, the more they will love God, and the more they will trust God. So it's a great Bible study for what they are particularly doubting concerning God. Another type of Bible study is what God has done for them. I mentioned this, learning the promises of God. This will give I didn't mention that one yet. But learn about God and his promises. The more you know about God, the more you love God, and the more you'll trust him, because you're reminded of his very great and precious promises. What God has done for him and in him. So a wonderful Bible study for that one that I like to use. I frequently, if they seem to be a believer after the data gathering I've done in session one, frequently my Bible study for them will be to read Ephesians 1 through 3, because that's just a great one for them to understand what God has done for them, in them, and through them. And so the same type thing that we've talked about earlier, for example, read Ephesians 1 through 3 for 15 minutes a day. Each day I want you to write down everything you learn that God has done for you, in you, or through you. Everything you find there. Each day, choose one verse that is most impactful to you, and then put that one on a 3x5 card on the back. Write down why it is helpful to you to know this truth in your challenge. And then again, make note of what you're doubting for discussion. Again, that gives me data. That's the data part, data gathering part of homework as well. Make note of anything that you are doubting for discussion next week. So this is a great one. And as they come back the next week, this is usually what I give on session one, they come back the next week. So it's so sweet to actually put in the data that they've given me the week before. Maybe it's a husband who has been very unkind and they have children that they're very concerned about what's going to happen to the kids because the dad's acting X way, Y way, Z way, whatever, maybe husband versus wife, whichever. But it's so great because they come back and they start talking about the what they've learned about God. And one of those verses, they can do immeasurably more than you could ever ask or imagine, according to his great power that is at work in you. So just a great help to know more than you can even ask or imagine. How can you apply that when you know that God can do more than you could even ask? And you probably have a good imagination. I do. And this says it's even better than anything we could imagine. How does that help you to remind yourself of that when your husband acts X, Y, Z? So working, when they come back and you're working through it, you work the information that they have learned from that study into their particular challenge, because they may be used to reading the Bible and just turning the pages and, yeah, I've read the Bible, but you want to help them understand what that really means and how can they apply that in their particular challenge about their wrong thinking about God, their wrong thinking about their children, their wrong thinking about what God is up to and so forth. So very helpful. You want to help them learn how to use that, those truths in their particular situation. What God has done for them. Okay, let's see. God's history with children is another great one. Heath did that wonderful presentation on Joseph, and at the end of your student notes is a Joseph Bible study. And so there's, I think it's a four-day study, and they're going to be reading those passages, the chapters there, answering questions about God, about Joseph, and how to apply that those very truths to their own situations. So that's a great one for them to understand God's history with his children. And that is attached there to your notes. Another one would be David, God's history with David. Maybe you have someone struggling with a sin and hasn't repented. Maybe you have one who struggled with a sin, has repented, but isn't experiencing the grace of God, which is his or hers. And so maybe giving this one, Psalm 32, 38, and 51, those are the passages about David and his sin with Bathsheba and God's mercy and grace to him upon his repentance. On three different days concerning David's sin, write a one-page summary or essay concerning these Psalms and how they help you concerning your great sin. How can you incorporate what David has said into your prayers about your sin, into your understanding about God and your sin? So it really helps them when they see God's history with his children and how they can appropriate God's history into their story and their relationship with Christ. God's instruction is another type of a Bible study that you can give them. God's actual instruction concerning their specific challenge or sin. When we have folks struggling with maybe pride, folks struggling with communication, folks struggling with different specific areas, parenting, so forth, our assignment might be to read Proverbs 10 minutes a day on four different days this week. Write down what you learn with reference about what God actually instructs or gives wisdom on concerning, and then whichever problem that they are working on, God's specific instructions on that. Another one might be Ephesians. Maybe you give Ephesians 4, 5, and 6 and help them understand how communication can make a difference in parenting, what the instructions are in parenting and so forth, God's actual instruction to that. Memory and review work, hiding God's word in our heart. Psalm 119, the psalmist says, I have hidden your word in my heart. Oh dear, what was that? Did y'all see that too? Okay, mine's flashing away up here. It was. Thank you. Memory and review work. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So you think it might be helpful, if the psalmist said that I might not sin against you. You think it might be helpful for your counselee to hide the word of God in their heart? And they probably never considered that. I remember the very first time I started memorizing scripture. I was in a women's Bible study and I said something in one of my verbal answers about, yeah, it'd probably be a great thing to start memorizing the Bible. And old lady walked across the room to me after it was over and said, okay, well, this week, why don't we do so-and-so? I'm like, you mean for real? You mean we're actually going to start doing this? And that's how I started, though, was she said, next week when we come back, you know, let's both say that verse to each other. I was like, oh my, I was horrified, terrified. I was like, I'll never be able to remember. But it was these verses that helped me get really motivated and an accountability partner that took what I said seriously, even though I didn't mean it seriously. Very thankful for her. She and I were close friends for a very long time, and that's about where it started. So, you want to help your counselee to memorize or hide the word of God in their heart. So that it would help them not to sin against God. The word of God, it says, John 17:17, Jesus says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And so if the word of God is what will sanctify your counselee by the work of the Holy Spirit, then, oh my goodness, that is what we want them to be hiding in their heart. Thank you very much. Oh, sorry. Yes.
So when you first start out in the counseling, do you go right to homework, or do you kind of ask them how to do it?
That's a great question. So the question was, when I start out with a counselor, when they come in, do I go right into the homework, or do I ask them how their week has gone? And I wouldn't say I do it the same way every time. There may be halo data that makes it very halo data, meaning body language, that I recognize, boy, you know, I probably ought to go into something. But what I also recognize is that what we're going to talk about, because it's going to be about God and it's going to be about their challenges, is going to be helpful in whatever situation that they are facing. And so I may want to get enough information about what's going on as we walk through the homework. So maybe when we'll talk about one of these pamphlets, but maybe when I'm going to go through trusting God, we're going to get to page 6. It's got certain things, and I'd say first one is God is sovereign, then it's wisdom and love. And I say, is there something that's gone on this week that would be so helpful to apply these? Let's think about your week and how this would help you and what's gone on this week. We do want to continue to gather data on them. I just recently had found out one of my teenagers had been admitted into a health, you know, mental institution, whatever. And I had no idea that she was even declining from the way that she had come in and talked to me. And so I am thinking back on, was there data I should have gathered? So I don't think there's a right or wrong definite way. One of the problems we do have, though, sometimes is if you ask the question with certain couples or whatever, when you ask the question, they can go so long on telling you what the problem is that it's kind of hijacked the teaching time to help them understand how to apply the word of God into their problem. So there's no one right way. You might just get a sense of what's going to work best. But I do recognize there are times I should have gathered more data and didn't. So that's a great question. Okay, sanctify them and to bring, John 17:17. Yep, we did that a moment ago. Let's see, and to help them remember, of course, the hiding God's word in their heart, to help them remember. So you want to give them passages that are going to help them understand the goodness of God. So sweet. We have a Bible study called The Father's Love Letter. It's actually one of your resources also that we've included in your notes. Helps them to understand the goodness of God, how much God loves them. You don't fall into knowing that. You tend to focus on how bad things are and how hard things are, and so you want to be a part of reminding them about the goodness of God. Help them understand their ability to live a godly life, Bible studies that will help them to do that. We have a great Bible study. If you want to email me, and my email is, I think, at the end of the lesson, a wonderful Bible study. It's free. We can send it to you digitally on Romans chapters 5-8 that help them to understand their ability to change, understand the sin that resides in them and their new nature and how they can live for God instead of living for themselves and so forth. So Bible studies that help them understand their ability to live a godly life. Bible studies that will bring conviction. Perhaps you're working with a parent who isn't bringing, they're great at bringing instruction, but they're not bringing godly discipline. And so you want to give them Bible studies, memory work, that will bring conviction into their lives. Ecclesiastes 8:11 is a verse I frequently give with parents who are not bringing actual consequences. They're good at lecturing, but they are not very good at bringing the actual consequence. And that verse says, if the sentence of a crime is not quickly carried out, the hearts of men will scheme evil. So what does that teach a parent? If the sentence for a crime is not quickly carried out, the hearts of men will scheme evil. Yes, timely, exactly. And you are not responsible for their sin, but what does that verse tell you? You are responsible for giving them an opportunity for their heart to scheme evil if you don't bring a timely consequence. So, and that talks about the penalty, the actual consequence that you bring, the sentence of a crime. So I might have them memorize Ecclesiastes 8:11, or if they're struggling with pride, memorizing James 4, chapter 4, verse 6. So verses that bring conviction. Verses to memorize to teach them how to live a repentant life, or Bible studies that are helpful on that. Psalm 32, we've talked about that. David's living out repentance over his sin with Bathsheba. So you might choose verses from 32 to memorize while they're studying the chapter 32. Okay, another category of homework is pamphlets. We talked about that earlier. Boy, what a great resource we have, isn't it, over in the building with all those pamphlets over there. They've all been vetted, so you can trust those. It's great, and it's not man's wisdom. So I like to give pamphlets that are foundational to start with. So foundational, applicable to all problems. So if they're struggling with anger, anxiety, or fear, I'm not going to give them the pamphlet on anger and anxiety and fear when they leave the first time. I'm going to help them to understand the foundational truths of God's word, but as they're understanding it, how to apply that foundational truth to their specific challenge. Because I have found it's hard to get someone to obey a God they don't trust. And so I'm wanting them to trust God and obey them. So I want them to know foundational truths about God before we head into the specifics, their presentation problems. So if they're not a believer, this is going to be the pamphlet I might use, Gospel Primer, or the other one, Salvation. The assignments are about the same. I really like this one by Martha Peace. It's probably been around a while, but for some reason I just got my hands on it. I love this one. It's my favorite one now. And have them do written answers to all the questions on a separate sheet. It's a very small one. Highlight any you have questions or concerns about for discussion next week. I'm working with a teenager now who's a confessing unbeliever, and so I'm really excited to get to work with her. She's been through some really difficult things that she and I have sort of in common, and so I'm really excited about how God may be using that. We're on session like 8 and she's not saved yet, but she's still willing to meet, and I'm just excited to work with a teenager who wants to know about God. Salvation homework. Okay, another one and this is actually the one I give after the first session when they're walking out, if it seems they are a believer. Love this one because it helps them understand, it's one I mentioned earlier, the sovereignty, the wisdom, and the love of God. So I love giving this one. It's a shorter, by Jerry Bridges, it's probably 12 pages, I guess, with questions at the end, but it does a great job of summarizing his larger book on the subject. That's the assignment that I would give, read, highlight, and on a different day, review that, and then star 7 most helpful highlights. So when they come back, I'm going to say, let's go to that page 6. Let's look at those bullet points, and we're going to look at the first one is sovereign. I'm going to have them look up a few verses while they're with me on the sovereignty of God. Maybe it's no one can hold back the hand of God and say, what have you done? So we're going to talk about, you know, that concern you said about what's going to happen to your children because your husband's being like XYZ. Is your husband holding back the hand of God in your children's lives? See, that gives them hope. You're using a foundational truth, but you are applying it particularly to what they've told you in session 1 data gathering. So it helps them understand. We get to the wisdom of God. He knows everything. He knows what's going to happen, but it's not just he knows it. He knows the best, and he knows how to get you there. You put that together with sovereignty, then what does that mean? It means it's in his wisdom. Yes, that's right. In his wisdom, he uses his sovereignty in the wisest way, and the next one is love. That means it's the most loving path for you. You may not have chosen it. I may not have chosen it for you. You may not have chosen it for your children. But it is a loving path. It may be a hard, painful. I'm a rape survivor, and I tell them that. It's like, yeah, it may be a hard and painful path, but it is the most loving thing for your eternal soul. He knows what he has created you to be. He knows the path that he wants you to, how you're going to serve him. This is the best way to get there. So help use the particular foundational truth, but in their specific challenges. And the next one that I usually give is Christ in your problems, because it helps us understand not only did Christ suffer for us in his death, but he suffered before us. He went through all those temptations. He went through all that suffering. The nakedness part of the rape was the hardest part for me. And I can remember where I was when the woman who was teaching the Bible study pointed out Jesus was probably naked on the cross. You never see that, of course, but that's the way they crucified them back then. It's like, what? I mean, I fell more deeply in love with Jesus because he went through that for me. He's not just a high and holy God. He's not an ivory tower God. He came. He suffered. So you can know, you can run to him. So it's a great pamphlet to understand that he suffered for us and before us, and because he lives in us in the person of the Holy Spirit, we can handle these things in a way that honors God and then therefore experience peace, hope, and joy as we follow him. The third one I give is how to handle trouble. Same type assignment, but then I usually have put A through F on page 54 on a 3x5 card and memorize it this week as my part of the homework assignment to them. That'll be their memory work, that review work, the part we talked about reviewing and hiding things in your heart. It's a great one. Now, the next one, this isn't the next one I usually give, it's next slide, but it's not the next one I usually give, although you certainly could, but if a person is struggling with understanding how to discipline their life for godliness, this is a great one, and perhaps given that Romans Bible study alongside it is the Bible study part, and this is the pamphlet part of the homework, helps them to discipline their life. We worked with a dear couple, young couple, lost their baby, died, I don't know, 1-year-old or something, horrible. But she, both of them really were, but they were living very undisciplined lives. That's one of the ways that they were responding to what had happened. The house was just, you know, a wreck and just seemed overwhelming to her and so forth. And so on down the road, we gave godliness through discipline and gave her a very practical assignment with a chart to write out what the responsibilities were, just little parts of time to spend each day, very practical for her, very specific, such that she could have hope right away that she could change and grow, because obviously the grief was a very godly grief, but part of her hardship, her misery, was because of how she was responding to it, and she was feeling overwhelmed by the home and him with his job and so forth. It's a great assignment to understand the ability to change and how to discipline life for godliness. This is cross-centered life is great for someone who is legalistic, kind of a Pharisee type viewpoint. So it's a very sweet, very loving presentation to help understand the grace of God. And then the next one is how to overcome evil. This is not like evil of the devil, but the Romans 12, how to overcome evil with good. Someone's done evil against you and how to do good for them. I have never given this one out that people didn't come back and just say, that was so helpful, because it gives hope. It gives practical answers. It gives a real sense of God's victory in us and how we can overcome darkness with the light of Christ and so forth. Is really, really a great pamphlet to assign. And then specific to problems, pamphlets that are specific to those problems. After I've worked through those foundational ones, I'll start giving maybe the one Stuart Scott did on anger, anxiety, and fear, or people-pleasing, or whatever it is. I might go get one that's a longer exposition on a particular problem. And what I like to do as well with those pamphlets that I give out is I like to, and on my front flap, write out Bible studies that are helpful on my own copy of it, Bible studies that are helpful with that, memory verses that are helpful, so I'm not having to reinvent the wheel every time I give homework out. I can just look at my copy and remember, oh yeah, that's right, that's a verse in that pamphlet that would be good for them to memorize. Plans for changing, practical helps. A put-off, put-on sheet, I've included a filled-in one, an example one, and a blank one as part of your resources at the end of your student notes on page 16. That has been really helpful, and it gives them a plan for change. It helps them understand the idolatry, what's going on in their heart, what they're disbelieving about God, what they need to pray, and then the desires they need to put off, the inner man desires of the heart, the thoughts they need to put off and the ones they need to put on, the words they need to put off, the words they need to put on. It helps them get really specific on a plan to change. You want to help them. That's the how part of being a biblical counselor. You don't just teach them about the gospel, which is why. You don't just teach them about what they need to do. You want them to understand how to apply it when they leave, and that's just a really good way of doing that. Another how-to, another plan for changing might be your assignment, and you write it down. You need to go home and ask your spouse forgiveness for X, Y, Z, and you might have them while they're with you write down how they're going to word it so you can help them word it. Another plan for changing might be if they're struggling with parenting to go home and do a behavior chart. You give them a few examples that they might use and then have them look that over, pray over what they want to do. Come back with the chart before you implement it and let's work on it. Another plan for changing is giving them a conference table. If you've taught on communication, you have them actually do two conference tables before they come back. If they're not serving, a plan for changing would be a part of your homework. Call the church and ask them what ways you can serve. Come back and let's talk about that. Doing loving acts for your spouse and so forth. And then the data gathering. We talked about how we want to continue to get more information, data gathering. And so the emotion log, and you'll see that also on your example back there. The emotion log is written down in your homework example. But it gives you more information of what's going on during their week, and then it helps you understand what thinking about God needs to change and what may be the idolatrous desires in their heart. That's the emotion log. So what are you going to do if your counselee does not do their homework? Ever seen a dog? Homework. Now, we raised a pit bull, and they actually do eat paper, but so maybe they're speaking the truth when they come back, but usually this is due to certain factors. One is that you may not have explained or written down the homework. They were overwhelmed, they were intimidated, and they just forgot what you said. So maybe you didn't do a good job. Or maybe you, maybe you gave an unrealistic homework assignment that was just going to require too much time for them to do it. Again, that's probably your fault. But maybe the counselee is not properly motivated to change. Maybe you need to remind them of the gospel. Give them the gospel primer. Help them remember about Christ's suffering for their sake. Maybe they've forgotten. They're now unwilling to do whatever to follow the man who died, the God man who died for them. So they may not be properly motivated to change. Here's another one of our zits. The mom says, "Hi, Jeremy. Hi, Pierce. What's going on? What's new?" And he picks her up and hugs her and says, "I got a 73 on my bio quiz." And his friend says, "Wait, isn't a 73 like a C minus?" And he says, "Life is marketing." And I realize when I hear things from my counselee when they come back, they're marketing the reason they did not get their homework done. So you want to ask them questions. What is the reason behind this? You know, I'm not coming down as their judge, but what I know is they're doing their homework is going to be the most important part of their counseling. So I let them know, I'm not coming down on you. I just want to help you to get this homework done. So help me understand what's going on with this. Was it a time issue? And if that's the case, I'm going to ask them specific questions about what they've done during the week. How many hours did you watch TV on Monday? How many hours were you on Facebook on Tuesday? How many? I'm going to be finding out things that are going on in their life. And I'm going to give them practical suggestions about getting their homework done, help them think through their priorities and their schedule. I remember that when I first heard somebody say, you know what, I don't read, back in the days when you actually read a newspaper, piece of paper for newspaper, but someone said, "I don't read the newspaper until I've done my quiet time." I'm like, wow, really? There's an idea, but that's what got me going. I mean, it was a practical suggestion about making homework, having the kids stay in another room if they're old enough to read Bible books or color in Bible pictures, whatever, while you do it, swapping off with your spouse. What about that motivation issue? Is he properly awed and humbled by the cross? Maybe you need to go back to the gospel, give homework assignments about Jesus Christ and his suffering. Does he think change will happen if he does not change anything, or she? I mean, you know, talk therapy, that's what they're used to. They're not used to having to actually do things differently. You want to build excitement. Talk about a time when you did your quiet time and it made a difference in your day. That, you know, I had no idea when I woke up and read such and such, but wow, later on that day, X, Y, Z happened. I was so thankful I had that to help me get through that difficult thing. So build excitement from your own experience. Remind him of his first week's commitment. that he said he or she said that she would do their homework, and you show them your disappointment, but with hope change. Oh, Trats, I'm so sorry that you didn't get that homework done, because, man, we had some really good stuff that was going to apply so great to what you've been going through. We're not going to be able to do it today because you haven't done it, but I know you're going to get it next week, so I'm looking forward to that. I really wanted you to have it this week, but next week, you can really look forward to next week. So remind them, but with hope and excitement. Have counselees use that session hour to get their homework done. Yep. Well, this is just too important for you to leave, so I'm going to be over here doing this, and I'm going to give you a whole hour to work on uninterrupted to get your homework done. See how it shows them the importance? It's not that you just want them to do homework to check it off. You're showing them it's important to get these things done, so you work, get at least an hour of it done. But if there is repetitive failure to do their homework, and this does happen, it's just so sad, it does happen, and I've written down some possible responses. The first thing I usually do if it's been a couple of weeks of they're not doing their homework or not doing it very well is that they would call or text me at 24 hours in advance that they haven't gotten their homework done. They're going to lose their $25 cancellation deposit. Our counseling at our church is free, but they put up a $25 deposit that they get back when they finish counseling. When they finish counseling. And so they're going to lose, I'll let them know you'll lose that, but you know, you'll have to bring a new one when you come back. But that's just how important it is. For whatever reason, money sometimes really motivates folks. But if they repetitively do that, even over time, then I just let them know that we have a wait list. Our church keeps a list of about 50 people on our wait list who are wanting to change and grow or willing to put the work in and so forth. And so I just let them know, you know, we're here for you when you are ready to really put in the time to study God, learn about God, find that joy of abundant life that Christ died and has given you. Then get back up on, get called back up, Kim Kutch, get yourself back on the list, because we do want to help you. But this is not going to be the best time for us to do that. So please keep us in mind when you're ready to do that and discontinue it. In summary, you love your counselee well when you give him homework, because as he is walking out of the counseling room, he is carrying in his arms real hope and help. You can know you have helped him plan to meet with God regularly and purposefully until he returns, and that you have given him very practical tools to use in his great challenges beginning that very day. It is a great feeling to know they're carrying out there with them something that is going to be hugely helpful to their experiencing the abundant life that Christ died to give them. And they have it, but they're not experiencing it because they're not thinking right about God or speaking and working rightly. Okay, any questions about homework? Yes. Sure. Yes, okay, the Y chart's a great resource. It's a diagram, and my email is at the end of your homework there before, I think, resources and so forth. If you'll just email me, we can send you a PowerPoint, and it walks you all the way through it. Mm-hmm. Yes?
You mentioned those foundational principles.
Yes.
Trusting God, Christ in your problem, God in your trouble.
Yes.
Do you give each of those to everyone in your counseling in that order? Is that more the practice? Mm-hmm.
That's a great question. So his question was, do I give those foundational pamphlets in that order to every counselee? And I wouldn't say every, but just about every. And I don't necessarily, I'm glad you brought that up, because what I'd meant to say was it doesn't mean I'm going to give trusting God in week one, Christ and your problems in week two, how to handle trouble in week three, because I may recognize they need more work on trusting God. And I found myself in the mistake, because I'm kind of a doer and a checker off the boxer type person, that I just have in my mind, I want them to trust Christ in your problems, the next problem. And so I'll, instead of digging further into trusting God, I go ahead and assign something when I should have, for the assignment, said, summarize, trust, go back and reread it and summarize it, and then we'll come back and talk more about it the next week. But yes, I almost always give, and again, there's no one right way, but I almost always give those three to start out with, because they are so helpful understanding how to trust God, Christ suffering for you, how you can run to him, and the purposefulness of pain, which is what How to Handle Trouble gives real hope and understanding for. Thanks for asking those. Any other questions? Yes. Okay, that's a great question. Except for I forgot the first one. So I'll answer the second one first. How many clients or counselees do I keep at a time? I'm at a season of life. I was a stay-at-home mom, and when my son went off to college, I decided to just make it my full-time job, but I, you know, my don't get paid for it. So I try to keep maybe between 8, 9, 10. We have 23 certified counselors at our church, and most of them have one or two. But this is just my season of life. Your first question was? Oh, how many sessions? Mm-hmm. Jay Adams has a book called The Three Stages of Counseling. It's really a very helpful one. And he talks about it generally being 12 to 16. And that's generally speaking what I would say mine are. I've had, you know, vibrant Christians who are know a lot of things and have grown, but they're just in a hard place and they want to learn some things that, you know, graduated 6, 7, 8 sessions. That's unusual. Not that I don't have vibrant Christians, but it usually takes longer. and we've had some couples that have been in the upper 20s. And that's pretty unusual, but we have had it. But I would say the majority of ours are between 12 and 16, 17 sessions. And that's a Christian who's doing their homework. Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Do you find that most counselors will go get a binder and the note cards themselves? Or, I mean, you guys see lots of people. We're small. We don't do that. We don't talk about us purchasing that.
Yes.
And having it for them. And
yes.
Them.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Great question about, and the question was about whether we provide it, there's a wisdom of providing it or having them get it themselves. We started out with, and still some of our counselors do, having them bring it themselves. We now have them that we've had volunteers put together for us that we sell, or I personally get them at garage sales. And so I give them away for free. But yeah, so it's a good question, pros and cons either way. Yes. Yeah, so if you'll look at the example, which is I think around page 13 in your notes, there's circled words, and I think it says at the top circled words are tabs, and so I have a circled word, and that's how I hand it to them, and I say these circled words are your tabs in your notebook. Yep, great question. Mm-hmm. Sure, yeah, it's a good organizational question. Anybody else? Yes? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the question was about boundaries, and we have lots of folks who come in and have read those books and so forth, and that is we actually go there on that in our training. Yes. Oh, how boundaries on how often to call me. I thought you were talking about the boundaries books. I was like, how do I answer that in a hurry? Boundaries on calling me, how often they call me. Yeah, because that's a great question, because what I want them to understand is the Holy Spirit is their helper. And so I am not going to, you know, if they call me a few times the first few weeks and so forth, that's great. But I'm going to be encouraging them, you know what, now you've got pamphlets, now you've got Bible studies, now I want you to go there first. Before you call me, I want you to read all of your summaries that you've done so far before you call me. I want you to kind of evaluate your answer before you call me, and then let's talk about how you've evaluated it, because I want them to learn how to go to the Word of God. I have had them that will just call a lot, and I realize, wow, they're starting to put their trust in me instead of trusting in the Word of God. Yep. Yeah.